welcome to another edition of Visions with me, your host, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today, as we continue to have conversations around disability, I'm extremely honored to have as my guest in the studio, Rosemond Cleary. Rosemond is a St. Lucian, of course, with Barbadian heritage, and he was a former senator. He was a very involved community activist. And now Rosemond will share his story with us today. Rosemond, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Yudeli. Very good afternoon to you, Yudeli, and Denisha, good afternoon. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Yudeli. I didn't see that coming, but I'm thankful, you know.
Great. Now, Rosemond, just tell us a little about yourself prior to your acquiring your disability.
Well, I was the OECS and Caribbean boxing champion. I traveled the whole world fighting all over different countries, you know. Boxing was my love. I love boxing. I love training. I love my body. I had a beautiful body too. Well ripped, you know. I was blessed with a beautiful body. 5 foot 5 inches and a half and very strong, all muscle. I was a black belt in karate also. Boxing was my love, you know, and I traveled the whole world fighting. Went to Scotland, went to England, Caribbean, you name it, all the French countries, Venezuela. I fought all over the world and I was successful in winning the OECS, which is the Eastern Caribbean, which is about 8 to 9 countries. And I won the Caribbean title in 1989. So I was a very successful boxer. But I was also a scuba diving instructor. I had my own scuba diving center. Scuba diving was one of my favorite jobs I ever had. There's nothing like being paid to do something you love. I loved it. I enjoyed it. And they paid me to have fun. That was the best thing that ever happened to me, scuba diving. I'm that kind of person, you know, you'll realize that in my, you know, in everything I do. I get involved in things, but not just to be in it, but to grow and one day make it mine or have my own. I have that tendency to be that kind of person. I eventually worked in many hotels, but I knew what was the final analysis was to have my own. And I eventually had Rosemond's Trench Divers, which is the third largest scuba diving center in St. Lucia. So this is a little about me. You know, there's many other. It'll take you forever to tell you.
Okay. So now let us hear how you acquired the disability.
Well, it turned out that one afternoon, a guy asked me for a ride. A couple of guys, I gave them a ride in the north of the island. And they told me, wait for them. They come in. They're just going to pick up something and come back. So I waited for them. They're good friends of mine. Only to realize there was somebody waiting for them in the bush with a gun. I didn't know what was going on. I just thought I gave somebody a ride. So I came out to the car just to get some fresh air. And then when the guys approached, the guy said, I've heard some noise in the bush down there. It's kind of dark. Why would somebody walking in that bush? And within seconds saying that, a bullet came out of that same area, straight into my heart, my lungs, and my spine. So the guys picked me up, threw me in my car, drove me to the hospital in my car. By the time I arrived at the hospital, I was pronounced dead on arrival. And that's where the story started. So I was sent to the mortuary, and I was in the mortuary for an hour, 20 minutes. Until 1 o'clock in the morning when they came to put another body, another person had passed away. The handyman realized that I was shaking and trembling. And he said, but that's strange. Why is that body moving? So he ran like crazy to go and get the doctor, to tell the doctor there's a body moving in the mortuary. So the doctor says, that's not possible, but let's go and take a look. And thank God he said that. Only to realize when he unwrapped the bed sheet, it was only Rosemond Cleary, with blood coming out my nose, my mouth, and everything else you can imagine. So they rushed me back to surgery, sewed my heart, my lungs, and my spine, which is why I had 2 holes in my heart, 2 holes in my lungs, and my spine was cut off. So that's where it began. That was the new life for me.
Okay. So you were pronounced dead on arrival.
Yes.
You have recovered. And tell us now exactly what. You know, are you a wheelchair user? Do you use elbow crutches?
Yeah. Yes. When I recovered, I was having a lot of complications for a whole month in the hospital in St. Lucia. They really couldn't handle it. All the signs, it's inevitable that I was going to die. All the signs showed that the hospital in St. Lucia could not handle it. With 2 holes in my heart, 2 holes in my lungs. They sewed the lungs. My doctor, I must say, the doctor sewed the lungs. He sewed my heart miraculously. But the heart continued to leak. Every time the heart pumped, it was leaking. It was causing a continuous infection in my body. They couldn't handle it. My niece picked me up and tied an airplane, took me to Martinique. Thank God. Her name is Cheryl. And Martinique started working on me. And I must say Martinique, thank God, Martinique really, really got me there. So right there, Martinique started working on me, but realizing that I will not walk because the bullet had cut my spine in half. It helped the heart to heal nicely and the lungs. And then realizing that the spine would not come back. So I was considered to be paralyzed from the waist down. And they taught me how to use a wheelchair. They introduced me to a wheelchair in Martinique. Thank God again, Martinique really good at it. Taught me how to use a wheelchair, went through rehabilitation, taught how to use wheelchairs and all of the above that comes with. And that's why I got it back. Martinique really introduced me to it nicely. Taught me how to recognize an infection, taught me how to take care of myself, how to catheterize myself. I mean, they taught me so many techniques, gave me my life back, you know, in a sense, you know, that I was able to smile in spite of the new life, you know.
Okay. So you were a young man at that time.
Yes.
Now, hearing all of what happened physically to you as a result of being shot, how did you handle that emotionally after you realized, well, hey, this is a new life that I have to experience?
It was confusing. Every day I go to bed with all the pain because the pain never stops. Your legs are hurting, pricking you, and then that's all you feel. You don't feel a normal feeling anymore, a normal sensation. It's just pain, just a painful leg, you know, and you're confused. I go to bed and, you know, I tend to believe when I wake up, I will be walking again. I lived that life for many years. The spine will heal and I will successfully be able to walk again. That never happened. It was really hard for me. Right in Martinique, in the hospital where I spent 3 months with rehab and everything, successfully realizing that, you know, I would not walk again. More and more, I'm accepting it. To the point that I got up one morning and all doctors and nurses ran to my room because they couldn't believe what they heard. You know, I was confined to the bed, paralyzed, using pampers, which I never did in my life. It was, my God. And it was a disaster. But it turned out that I grabbed life. You know, I'm that kind of person. I think the pugilist in me, you know, that pugilist in me, that fighter in me, I grabbed life and I wake up one morning and I said, wow, is that what it is? Well, if that's what it is, let's deal with it as is. So one morning I got up around 4:45 o'clock in the morning in the hospital, grabbed my chair, which was by my bed, sat on it and rolled myself to the bathroom, changed my clothes by myself, showered, did everything, went back to bed, dry myself. And of course, as I said, I was using pampers at the time. I grabbed a pamper, put a pamper on, take out what I had on, put powder, and I just got dressed. When the nurse came to my room and saw me doing that, she screamed. Because it's like almost impossible. A man only 2 weeks in the hospital being paralyzed from a gunshot. It's not possible. You have to go for rehab. You have to learn to do that kind of thing. And I was successfully able to do that. She couldn't believe that. She went and called all the doctors. There were 4 doctors. There were nurses. And they were just screaming. And they couldn't believe it. And they shook my hands. They hugged me. They kissed me. And they're still asking me, Kimone Ofesa, because it's French, you know, how did you do that? And I said, it's only God. It's a God in me. That's grace in me.
Okay, so after the rehab and you're beginning to adjust to having a disability, having this paralysis.
Yes.
What did you do after you returned to St. Lucia? How long did you stay in Martinique?
I spent almost 2 months in hospital in Martinique, 8 weeks. After I returned to St. Lucia, it was really tough coming back home. Everything was strange. You know, for the first time in my life, I will never walk in my own home anymore, my own country anymore. It was crazy. But I stayed home for a long time. I didn't want to go nowhere. I had this girlfriend who was really nice, who was there with me at all times. She came to Martinique to pick me up and come back with me. And we lived together. For the first time, we lived together because I was by myself when I got shot. And she always told me, well, let's go to visit the town. Let's get to know the new town because it's the new you. And I never wanted to go. And I stayed home for almost 2.5 years, almost. Don't want to leave the house at all. That my complexion, I'm a dark person, kind of slightly chocolate, that I became very, I was very clear. My complexion just changed, you know, because I don't get out. I go to, you know, until that one day I finally decided, okay, I'll go to town. And I went with her in the tower, took a taxi. And then I was ashamed. I didn't want people to see me. I was feeling bad, you know, but it was the total opposite. People treated me nice. They were happy to see me. They always asked a lot of strange questions, you know. But when I realized the way they treated me and the way they embraced me, it actually gave me a little more courage. So I started going to town more often. And then by doing that, then I decided to do something. But I started a business. Life is not over. I became a roadside vendor. I started a roadside business where I started selling music and movies and, you know, different apparatus. And that's how I started growing again, you know, and my confidence started coming back. And I started rolling the wheelchair all over. Then I started doing it by myself. And then about a few months after, I got a call asking me, would you like to be a part of the Council for Persons with Disabilities? I said, sure, I'd love that. You know, it doesn't give me an opportunity to help and to assist people like myself. They said, sure. So then they had a meeting and I went to the meeting.
And I put my name in the hat, and persons voted for me, and there were three persons running for election, and I was successfully the one, and I became the president of the Council for Persons with Disabilities. I did that a couple of times, and I won a couple of times, and you know, and that's basically it, you know.
All right, so share with us what that journey was like, being president of the National Council.
It was a wonderful journey that I never could forget. It was good. It was a great feeling. Because of what I experienced as a person with a disability, it put me at a position where I can help persons who's going through what I felt and probably who's going through it a bit worse. I was able to help a lot of people, and I love that. I went in the rural areas, looked for persons who need wheelchairs, and help persons who need apparatus, the blind, the ones with physical disabilities. You know, it felt good. Going out in the rural areas again, bringing food for them, you know, bringing pampers for them, and all the things that we were able to help them. It was really good. I stood strong for them, and I fought for them. And I felt good. I felt good that in my wheelchair, I can do that. I felt really good. It's a beautiful feeling that I cherish up to a day like today. I'd love to do it again, you know.
Okay. And what would you say was your most memorable moment, your greatest achievement as president?
There's so many. One of them I really liked the most is there was a guy by the name of Kevin Alexander, who was a young guy going to the infant school, and he was not able to walk because of some nerve problems he had in his two legs. So he used a wheelchair. And after the exams, he successfully passed for another class. But because he's in a wheelchair, they would not allow him to attend the other class. And I was called in on that, and I made a lot of noise. I had to be involved. And I was at my best, man. I was at my best. I made noise like it's my son, man. I felt good about that. Eventually, we dealt with the situation, and I had to tell them, look, he passed for the class. It's true, the class he passed for is upstairs. You need to make some adjustment where you get either get the class downstairs for him, you know, or make the place accessible for him so that he's able to go to his class. But he shouldn't stay home. He shouldn't be deprived. And the media was involved. I even wrote a song about it. It's called From Where I Sit. I have a song called From Where I Sit, which I wrote. And that was the first song I ever wrote in my life. It motivated me so much that it caused me to write the first song of my life. Today, I have about maybe 15 songs or 20 songs. You know, that is one of them I can never forget. And finally, they did the necessary adjustment for him. He was back in his class. I think they put the class downstairs. They made some of their way he can actually access it now. And today he's a Calypsonian just like myself. He's in a competition just like me. And he's doing very well in his wheelchair. So I felt good about that. And he went to the secondary school. He finished up all his schools and got his grades. And he's a bright little boy now. So I felt good about that. That is what you consider to be a successful, you know, a successful move. Mission accomplished as far as I'm concerned. A significant achievement, actually. I really love that. I cherish that up to a day like today.
Fantastic. And as you just mentioned, you're also a Calypsonian. So now tell us, how did you become involved in the Calypso arena, your carnivals?
Well, I don't take part in carnival. Surprisingly, I am not a carnival person. I've never been in carnival in my life. I don't like carnival. I'm not crazy about it. It doesn't turn me on at all. You know, so I don't even go by the road and look at it. I don't know why. I don't have anything against it. But I love music, particularly Calypso. So I got involved with Calypso. After my disability, it was just like Calypso was singing to me, telling me, hey, you're in the wheelchair, but you're not over. There's a lot you can do. There's something you can do. That's how I saw it. You know, I was in that chair, and as if I was very open to do anything. My eyes are open. I like planting. Up to now, I have a window garden. I have a garden. I love to plant. That's my therapy. So being in the wheelchair, my heart is open towards music. And I remember the guy called Jeff Elver, which was one of our Calypso King of St. Lucia, who's in a wheelchair for many, many years of his life after an accident in New York City and won the crown many times in his chair. He was a guy, every time I looked at him and I realized I was in a chair, I said, but you know, I can be like him and win a crown one day and be popular. So that encouraged me. So once I talked to him, I told him, well, you know something, I think I'm going to sing Calypso. I didn't have him write my first song. I had another guy wrote up my first song. And then when I read it, I didn't like certain things. I was very disrespectful in it. I said, no, I changed some things on my own. And he said to me, I wrote your song. You change it while you're on your own. So I said, that's okay. So I used that same song and wrote it to my taste with respect, because it was disrespectful. And I couldn't enter something that was disrespectful. It just didn't work for me. And that's how I started Calypso. And from that time, I started a song called From Where I Sit. And at that time, there was a problem where certain persons with disabilities, who I'll not mention, were not treating certain persons with disabilities right. They were not treating them right. And I felt that was really strange, and I didn't like it. I said persons with disabilities should stay together, should work together, should fight together. It should be one for all for one. We are persons with disabilities. We all should stand up next to each other and don't allow persons to have us fighting with each other. So there were certain things that happened that I didn't like it. And I added that to my song, including what Kevin was going through in the school that deprived him of his education because he was in a wheelchair. So I packed that song with all that and I hit quite a few big persons that could have made a difference in the lives of persons with disabilities, and they were not doing it. And when you heard a shout, that was it. You know. And since I serve as a senator in parliament, I kept the name The Senator. And that's where The Senator was born, in Calypso. Apart from being a senator in parliament, I became a senator in Calypso.
You mentioned Jeff Elver, and I think many people will not know him by his given name.
But by the Mighty Pele.
His name was the Mighty Pele.
Mighty Pele, yeah.
Yes.
A wonderful human being. God bless his soul. He had been treated very good. He gave me a lot of opportunities. He almost asked me to come to his home and he talked to me, encouraged me. You know, in his last few days, we were very close. He was really, as if, I don't know if there was what writing on the wall, I didn't read, but he was calling me often, come to him, he would teach me things, he'd talk to me about things. He would just, and maybe I never saw the writing. My life is weird. And then he got the call once and that broke my heart. I sang a song at his tribute and I broke down while singing it and I started crying. It was really painful.
Well, losing a loved one always is painful. Yes. So again, you highlighted that you were a senator in the Parliament of St. Lucia.
Yes.
So share with us, how did you become involved in politics?
Well, I always had a political heart. I always had a love for politics from a young boy growing up. And every time they had budget debates at my mom's home, I was the one closest to the radio. I'd grab the radio or the television and I have it all for myself. But my mom loved it too. So even my mom and I, we enjoyed it together equally. I love debates. I just love debates. And I knew I was born for that. I didn't take it very serious. So it was always in my heart. And as the president of the Council of Auburn for Persons with Disabilities here in St. Lucia, since I was, there was a challenge in the House of Parliament where every time the opposition leader nominated some senators, the day of the House sitting, they would not show up. It's like a sabotage. So it happened to him once, twice, possibly three times. And he was very, you know, he was broken up. He was really broken up. And that was keeping the business of the country to move on. So then he decided to be smart or use his mind and say, you know something? Maybe they're too politician. That's why they're behaving so. So he started looking for persons that were different. And then he approached the Council of Auburn for Persons with Disabilities, what I found was very creative of him, actually. So he came to the council and he said, Mr. Clary, I'd like to have a word with you. I said, sure, Mr. Nicholas, how may I help you? I said, would you like to be a senator? I need to have three senators, and every time I appoint them, they always disappoint me. Would you be able to be a senator and support us and fight for the rights of persons? And I said, sure, I'd love to do that. I said, but are you sure you want me as a person with disability? He said, yes. Someone told me that was the right move to make. I said, yes, it is the right move because disability is not inability. And he said, well, guess what? You're on. I'm going to send your name up to the Governor General and you're in. And that's how I did it. So the Governor General, you know, did the necessaries and appointed me. And that's how I became a senator. And the first House sitting, it was amazing. When they announced me in the radio, my house, I have never experienced that in my life. I wake up one morning and there were reporters outside my house, cars parked outside. And we're like, what is going on? I've never felt that before. I felt weird. When I tried to get out of my house to go to parliament, I mean, people asked me questions, taking pictures. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I was like, wow, I never thought that was possible sitting in a wheelchair. It was like, wow, it was a new me, you know? It was a new me. Mm-hmm. It felt really, I just didn't have a word for it. Up till now, I don't have a word for it. But when I got to parliament, there were people all around parliament. You know, people come out to see that senator in a wheelchair, the first person with a disability to be a senator in a wheelchair. People can't believe it. I don't know why. Why? I mean, it's the same human being. He's only sitting down. That's the only difference. And then I got into parliament. And since parliament is not accessible, they had to have the police and the fire service to assist me up the steps. Then parliament had to make a special adjustment. Since the laws of parliament, you have to stand up to read your speech or to give your speech. So because I can't stand, they had to make some special amendment to allow me to give my speech sitting. It was really special. And it was one of the best things I ever experienced in my life, one of the biggest and best, because I was successfully able to experience, you know, being part of the decision-making in this country of ours. I loved it so much. I felt good. I really loved it. It's like, it was the best feeling I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. And what would you say, again, was one of your major highlights being a senator? Were you able to, you think, make the level of contribution relating to improvements for people?
Absolutely. Well, for me, I was very selfish. Maybe I was selfish. I always thought that persons with disabilities needed equal opportunities. And so every time I gave my speech, I always used to say in Parliament, honorable members, today it's Rosemond Clary in the wheelchair. I always made them feel guilty. And I said, tomorrow can well be you. I said, disability does not discriminate, honorable members. Remember that. Today it's Rosemond Clary. Tomorrow can be you. So I beg you guys to try and use that foresight to see tomorrow, you know? So this was some of my biggest highlights. And one of the things I made a lot of noise about and wrote a lot of articles about is accessibility in all the banks. And that's there now, thank God. Parking for persons with disabilities. I made a lot of noise in that area. I wrote a lot of articles. Accessibility to public buildings. That was really bad in St. Lucia. And that's one of the areas I made a lot of noise, you know, a lot of noise in that area, you know? And of course, it started from 2008, 2009. I started making all that noise all the way to 2011. I made a lot of noise all that time. And we're looking for accessibility. So now I must say, I can see a lot of it has come through nicely, accessibility in all the banks. That was not there before. Somebody always have to lift you up to climb a step to a bank. You know, accessibility to the central library, you know, it's still not where I would love it to be. But a lot of the public places are really picking up. The supermarkets now are all accessible. The ramps are coming up. So I believe that it's in that area, the eye-opener was in that area. No question about it. It created the eye-opener in that area.
Accessibility. Fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous. I know now that there's also a young man with a disability in the Senate of St. Lucia. Have you been able to maybe give him some guidance and some...
No, we have not connected. Unfortunately, we haven't. He actually becomes the second person in the history of St. Lucia to have a disability in Parliament, you know. But I still see that as the first person in the Senate. He's in the other house. He's in the lower house, you know. We have not spoken, no. And his disability was quite interesting. But just before the election, he got himself in a motorcycle accident. He was a police officer before. And he lost a leg as a result of that. That's how his disability came. Mm-hmm. So, but it's an eye-opener because it just shows you that disability does not discriminate. And I continue to say that disability does not discriminate. Today's Rosemond Clary. Tomorrow can be any one of you out there. So please treat persons with disabilities as right as possible. Equal opportunities is the best way to go. We're human beings too. Not because I have a disability that makes me different. No, it doesn't make me different. I'm human just like you. And you know, there are persons who have unknown disabilities too, you know. And,
yes.
You know, and some people have disability, they don't talk about it, they deal with it. They just make it work. God bless their soul, you know.
Now, Rosemond, you mentioned that your girlfriend stuck by you. And I know you're married. Is this the same lady?
No. Oh, at the time, that my girlfriend, my wife, we've been together for about 15 years. And August will be 5 years since we're married. August will be 5 years. Yes.
So some people may be wondering, how is it that you're a paraplegic and you have a able-bodied wife? How does that happen?
Here's the answer. I'm a paraplegic with an able body. How about that? Is that a good answer? I'm a paraplegic with an able body. Yeah. I'll be honest, the truth to the answer is because it's just a matter of love. You see, love is a weird thing, eh? Udali, and you'll understand that too. It's just love. That's all. It's love. Mm-hmm. You know? When the love hits you, it doesn't matter what you are. She could have been anything else. I don't care. I mean, I was one time in love with a paraplegic also, you know. And I tend to believe it didn't go very far because we were paraplegic. You'll find that disability may have gotten in our way. Maybe if there was just a little more, one or the other, it would have probably gone where we would have loved it to go. But we remain good friends, and it's better than anything else. We're best friends, you know. So having said that, when it comes to my wife, I met her 15 years ago. It was just love, you know, it was love at first sight. And we became good friends and the friendship grew. It turned out that I used to be a vendor, as I tell you, a roadside vendor in my chair, selling all of the above. And she would buy music for me often and movies most of all. And every time she came, I was light up like a bulb, but she would light up like a bulb too. And I realized the difference between the two of us. Because every time she arrived, her eyes open up wide and mine opened up wide. And I feel a joy in my chest. And I go like, what is that? I'm recognizing this thing, you know, man. But to me, the last time I felt that, I used to walk. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really a special feeling. I'm looking forward to seeing her all the time. And
And from one step to the other, we went out once, and it was no turning back, you know. It was a godsend, and she's been there with me and for me, not just with me, for me, you know. In life, you find people that say they love you, but there's a difference between love and there's different kind of love. She doesn't just sit, she stands by me. You understand? She stands by me. Fabulous. And that's what she stands by me. There are times I miss a fall and I know I'm about to fall. I'll stretch my hands to catch a fall. And guess what? I would never fall, you know. Only to realize she already there. She catch me already. I go like, girl, are you super girl? Are you super girl? Are you super girl? Her eyes are on me more than I expect. I can't even do anything wrong because she's watching me all the time. And it's not because she's watching me in a bad way, but she's looking after me, you know? So,
yes, nice.
It's a good
thing.
It's just a beautiful feeling. And I'm thanking God for this. I never thought being in that wheelchair after being a paraplegic that I've ever got that feeling again. And I want to say to you that life is only over when it's over. Life is only over when it's really over. And when it's over, guess what? You'll never know. You will not know.
No, Rosemond, you talked about, you know, love at first sight and getting married to your wife. And we heard earlier you talk about some of the challenges in caring for yourself in terms of having the paralysis and the constant pain and so on. How has your wife reacted or supported you in helping you also to manage your disability?
Oh, a lot, so much, you won't believe it. I mean, at nights, I can start at nights before I go to bed. She makes sure that I'm comfortable, I'm well placed well. You know, with disabilities, you have to lie properly at night when you go to bed. Thank God with me, I don't experience what a lot of persons like us experience. I've had it in my lifetime. Don't think I haven't. I've had to do surgeries to correct it. Pressure sores is one of the things that haunts your life. And as a person with a disability for 23 plus years, it's not 2 days, you know, 23 plus. To be precise, the 22nd of August will be 24 years since I had my disability. So it's a long time. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I have had pressure sores. I've had, some people call it ulcers, whatever you want to call it. But I've had bad ones where I had to do surgery. I've actually had to do an $8,000 surgery on two pressure sores twice. So I've been there. Trust me, I've been there. And they're life-threatening. But I want to say thank God, as we speak right now, it's almost 3 to 4 years I've not had a pressure sore. So obviously something has been done right, you know. So my wife makes sure I'm placed properly, make sure that, you know, my body's nicely greased up nicely, oil up. You want to keep your body moist, very nicely moist. Don't let your body get dry as a person with a disability. Don't allow your body to get dry. Because once it starts to get dry, what's the next step? It'll crack. And once it cracks, what's the next step? Then you have an open wound, yeah? So you don't want that. She massages me every night. I normally have lower back pain. That's one of the things when you're paralyzed, you experience a lot of lower back pain. So I experience a lot of lower back pain. And with me, I have a hip surgery I've had twice because I had a hip injury. So she makes sure she massages me very, you know, quite a lot, rub me quite a lot and give me a little therapy. Then she checks on me quite often. I sometimes have to say, baby, I'm okay. You sure? Actually, yes, I'm okay. You know, I'm that strong kind of person. You know, I'm still that boxer. I tell her. She said, what boxer?
Yes, the fighter inside.
Yeah, the fighter in your heart. You know, you're going on. You're still saying you're okay. So she makes sure that I'm okay. She checks on me quite often. I must say, my wife treats me like I'm her baby. That's why she calls me baby now. She treats me like, oh, you okay, baby? You sure? Just, okay, you know, nice. It's very beautiful. I could not have had anybody better than that with my challenge. Could not have. I mean, I have to say it like that since we're in the air. But the good, bad, and ugly you can imagine in being paralyzed, my wife handled it like it's like we're having the best breakfast or the best lunch on the table with a smile. Say, wow, what a woman. Thank you, Jesus. I don't believe I chose her. I think God chose her for me. That's all God doing.
Wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as we get ready to wrap up the program, Senator, tell us what are some of your thoughts and vision for disabled people in St. Lucia and by extension, the wider Caribbean?
Well, I can make it very easy. The best thing I can say to persons with disabilities is take control of yourself, be in control of yourself, be in charge of yourself. That doesn't mean don't allow persons to help you. If people want to help you, they offer to help. If they want to help, allow them to. But learn to be in control, learn to be in charge, learn to be independent the best you can. And you can't wake up one day and be independent. You have to train yourself to be independent because you want to be successfully independent. So having said that, if it's programs you have to go to, if you have to go and learn something at school, if you have to go and learn, do it. You know what? And nowadays, we are blessed with something called YouTube. If it's YouTube, get there and learn something that you can actually utilize. And I've done a lot of that. That's why today I'm a winemaker with over 40 wines. I have my own wine business. I have my own hand sanitizing business. Where did I learn that? I'm doing very well. My wins are almost all over the world now. So, you know, what I have to say to persons with disabilities is try to be independent, try to learn something that they can actually build upon themselves, take charge of themselves, you know? And that's to everybody out there. Disability is not inability. Not because you have a disability. Oh, well, I cannot do it. Well, I'm in a wheelchair. No, I did it and I'm in a wheelchair. If I can, you can too. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I hope that does it, you know? And that's my advice to them. Take control of yourself. Be in charge of you. Yep. That's what I have
to say. Fantastic. Well, Senator Rosemond Clary, I want to say a very special thank you
for
sharing with us today and allowing us to have a little look in on your life as a man in a wheelchair, as a paraplegic, as a husband, as a former senator.
So many things. And of course, as a radio station owner too. Not forgetting that. RMC Broadcasting. So
yes, we also have an internet-based radio.
Internet-based radio station also, yes.
Well, thank you very much. I must have you back on the program that we can
talk about. Oh, I look forward to that. My pleasure. Anything you want to talk about, I'm absolutely happy to. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome, my dear. Thank you so much again, and regards to all listeners at this time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Visions Today, and I want to encourage each of you to reach out and touch someone's life, especially those individuals living with disabilities. So until next week, be good. Love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.